your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ and website 1700thechamp.com. Have all the podcasts up. I upload them into Audio Boom. You can grab them wherever you grab your podcasts. Give them a listen. Had some really good shows this week. Had some a great show last Friday in Newton. So kind of have a wrap-up show this week of the week. And we'll go through a bunch of stuff, plus some of the headlines for today. B Styles coming in here at 5:21 like he normally does on Friday. Can't wait to talk to him. Lots to talk about baseball, getting close to college football, getting close to the National Football League. So, as always, we've got a ton to talk about. We're going to start, though, with our sponsors of our show. And I got to grab my, not that I can't remember them, but it's always nice to look at them when I'm doing this. First one out of the chute today for homeless veterans. It is a golf outing put on by Central Iowa Shelter and Services, their fifth year of doing so. It is going to be Monday, July 31st at Legacy Golf Club, and we'll talk more about that as we move along. Northwest Bank, as always, Woodman Controls and Heritage Building Maintenance. So we'll talk about each and every one of those. Twins Royals. It's a huge game, a huge series this weekend for the Twins. I had it pulled up, but then I looked at a different story a second ago just to check on something. So let me pull it up again. The Minnesota Twins currently are. Give me just a second. I gotta straighten out my microphone today. Goodness gracious. The Minnesota Twins are currently a game and a half up on Cleveland. They're on a two-game losing streak. They're 6-4. Cleveland 7-3. They're 54-50. The Kansas City Royals have lost two. They're two of their last eight. They need to get these three games. Let me check and see who our Cleveland Guardians have this weekend. They have the... Okay. You would think that would be easy, but of course it is not. So I'm going to hit scores for tonight because this is a nice thing about most major league. So they are playing the White Sox. So that'll be very, very interesting to see that who's because Chicago's not very good either. But it's divisional rounds. But we get them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And when we come back in here on Monday and Tuesday, we're also going to talk about all NFL football begins next week. The Hall of Fame games on Thursday. And we have all of our, we have a schedule with all the football games that we're going to have on the station this year. We are a UNI Panther affiliate. We are a Kansas City Chief affiliate, but there's more on top of that. So looking forward to get to talk about all of that as well. So let's start. I think the biggest news of the day most definitely has to be Zach Taylor, coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, coming out today and saying that Joe Burrow, it's a matter of weeks, not a matter of days. They have 8 weeks before the start of the season, and he said weeks as in 6, 7 or more. I don't think you need to rush it back. For all the people out there going, oh my gosh, Joe Burrow just lost a whole lot of money. He's still going to sign his contract. He's still going to sign the biggest contract that the NFL has ever seen until the next guy's up. And one of the best questions that Scott asked me a couple of days this week is, well, what's Kansas City going to do about Patrick Mahomes? And I think Patrick Mahomes, this was my take with Scott, and I wanted to reiterate it again today. I think Kansas City, the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes are going to handle this differently than a lot of other squads have. And I don't know what all the rules are in NFL, but I think they're going to get pushed here. Because it's one thing. I mean, he gave them a really good player friendly contract, and some of these guys are, some of these guys aren't. I get it. You know, it kind of depends on the player, what type of player. If I'm Lamar Jackson, not that he didn't give Baltimore Ravens a pretty good deal. I'm a running quarterback. I got a new offensive coordinator. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get all the money I think I can get, but I'm not going to be greedy. I kind of like that. I don't think anyone in the NFL has been greedy at any point in time, especially running backs. And that has to change. I mean, it is incredible. And the biggest thing that we've said about that this week is the number one reason that I think that the National Football League has taken over as the sport, and I don't even think it's relatively close, is the betting aspect, but it's fantasy football. I played fantasy baseball with my father-in-law, John. We called him Bumpa. And I helped him do his draft. I went to the draft with him. I was a baseball nerd. So it was something that we had in common. He was a Brewers fan, so I had to sit and try to talk him into not taking so many Brewers. But they had some really good years too. But I was a fantasy football geek. Fantasy baseball. Fantasy baseball is hard to do. Fantasy football is amazing. I mean, we do it as a family. We do it as even a bigger family. We do it with our other family. That's kind of our social family. We do it at work. We do it here at the station. I mean, it's everywhere. And then when you throw in sports betting, it's a huge deal. And way more money is wagered on NFL football than any other sport. So kind of good and bad. Some of the bets, I mean, they're reasonable bets. But the people that set these lines are really, really good at what they do. But 7 weeks for Joe Burrow, you know, and that's, I don't know if that's 7 weeks of not doing anything, if it's 7 weeks of slowly working his way back up. That's just 7 weeks of trying to heal and then trying to get in shape without being able to do any of the things that he would have currently been doing. So I think that's really difficult for the Cincinnati Bengals. Number one, they're going to have to go out and get a quarterback. You need a quarterback. You're going to have some preseason games. You're going to do that. And they did not have a qualified backup on their roster. They have two backups. But I don't think Joe Burrow's missed a game since he came into the league. So it's a difficult task. Number one, it's not easy to get a backup quarterback, a really good backup quarterback that knows he's never going to play. So I think that's the biggest news of the day. I think there's a lot of interesting news out there. Just kind of going through this. So starting with Sean Payton. So Sean Payton yesterday, and this wasn't I think this was an interview in front of newspaper media. And they asked him about Russell Wilson and kind of were trying to light up Russell Wilson a little bit. And I think Sean Payton didn't like it. And I don't blame him. He was brought to the Denver Broncos to do exactly that, to make Russell Wilson a better quarterback, or even better than that, get him back to where he was in Seattle when the Denver Broncos traded for him. And Sean Payton let it be known, and I'm, to a certain extent, I'm okay with this. I would rather keep it in my thoughts instead of throwing it out there to the public. But he threw it out to the public that, listen, now, was part of this Russell's fault? He made the throws. He made the mistakes. He made some things. But he goes, it might have been the worst watching on film, because I guarantee you that's the first thing that Sean Payton did when he became coach. He went back and looked at all the game film. And he said it was the worst coaching job that he has ever seen. Might be the worst coaching job of all time. The team wasn't ready. the coaching staffs weren't ready. It was like the ownership group was just like, oh my gosh, what did we do? And it was a horrific year that still, if things would have fallen a different way on four or five games in there, you might have made the playoffs. So Sean Payton's job as a head coach is try to take stress off Russell Wilson. Not that Russell Wilson can't control the stress. And all the hatred towards Russell Wilson, his let's ride, and all the things he does. Come on, folks. You got to give some of that and just throw it away. You have people in this league and in professional sports that do a lot of really dumb things, illegal things. Just not things that you expect adults to do. And Russell Wilson doesn't do any of them. People don't like Russell Wilson because he's too nice. They think he's fake. And it seems like it's just the same as he's been ever since he was in college. So I think it's just people don't understand that you actually can grow up in life and be nice. I don't know. But that being said, Sean Payton took some hits yesterday for saying that. And when he was taking these hits, not one person, not one, not even the New York Jets, who now have Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator, or friend of Aaron, so FOA. Not one person said anything about what he said. All they ripped him on was the fact that he said it. I always hate that. Now, if Sean Payton today would have just went, listen, I'm here to back up the Denver Broncos, and I'm telling you what I saw during film. Is it politically correct? No. It's not politically correct for you guys to come down on Russell Wilson when you did not know what was happening behind closed doors and how unprepared everybody was. He goes, let me tell you, not my rodeo, but this year's my rodeo. And if you want to base it on me coaching Russell Wilson, have at me. Because I know what Russell and I have talked about, and I know where we're headed, and I know what it's going to be like. And if one of us is not doing what we're supposed to be doing, I think both of us have the understanding that we can go and talk amongst ourselves, in public, to whoever, and we'll get through it. I respect him for that. But of course, now today it's easy. Oh my gosh, you don't do that. You can't say bad things. All these sports reporters today going, you know, Sean Payton was out of line. Sean Payton shouldn't have said what he said. Robert Saleh, I'm not talking. It's not even worth talking about. Dude, the only reason that you hired Nathaniel Hackett was because he's an FOA, a friend of Aaron's. You weren't hiring him to be your offensive anything. But you had to because that's what Aaron wanted. And you don't have Aaron Rodgers this year. You probably don't have a head coaching job next year. So this all gets blown up. And of course, then the Denver Broncos and the media, they get back to Sean Payton, and Sean Payton starts walking it back. That's the most disappointing thing that I saw about the whole ordeal. Sean, you said it. Now understand that if you can't fix Russell Wilson or you don't have a good first year with the Denver Broncos, you are in a ton of trouble and you're going to get just ripped on. Buy it. Don't be bold. Don't be Sean Payton and say what you want to say and then walk it back. Well, it really wasn't what I... Yes, it was what you meant. You've watched tape. You are a savant at watching tape. You know that it was crap. You know what Russell... Now, Russell has to be culpable in this too, and he said that. But it was not a good situation. It was a coach that was well in over his head. And you know what? And part of that here's the one part that I don't think Sean Payton thought out was the general manager still there, and the general manager and the people running the football team hired Nathaniel Hackett. So they know it was a horrible mistake. They know that they should have never done that, but they also know what their jobs are and how much money they have, and they don't like to be made fun of. So he's probably going to have to explain that one. But the fact that he said what he said and had his quarterbacks back, if he would have just left it alone, I would have given him my dude of the month. But he walked it back today, and I hate the fact that you walk it back. That part got me today, and I wasn't extremely happy about it. But it is what it is. If you're going to come out and be bold like that, I don't care if you're a player, a coach, whoever, on a radio show, on a television, anywhere. If you're going to come out and have a bold statement, and you're gonna be there, stick to it, or you shouldn't have said it. I've said a bunch of stuff that I probably shouldn't have said, but I didn't back away from saying them because I truly believe that. I'm not here to make controversy. I'm not here to do any of that. I just want, if that's what you believe and that your biggest chance for the Broncos is, hey, we got a better coaching staff, I'd be talking about it every day. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back. 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. We also have Minnesota Twins baseball. We are Minnesota Twins affiliate. We are a UNI Panther affiliate. We are a Kansas City Chief affiliate. Yes. Pretty exciting. Exciting stuff. Looking forward to all the seasons coming up. But we have Minnesota Twins today, tomorrow, and Sunday. It's going to be fun on, I said Monday, but I think I'm going to do it on Tuesday. We're going to break out some of the biggest games that are going to be on the radio coming up in the next month or so. We have Iowa State Fairs coming up, hopefully doing some live shows out at the fairgrounds. I know we're going to do a few days. We'd like to do as many as we can. We just, Scott and I together, the two of us, love being out there and love doing things out there. So really looking forward to that. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. It is fun. It is easy. You also can go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans. Been there, done that, easy as well. From a vehicle loan to mortgage, it all starts here on the website. You can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank, and you can view the, my favorite, Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Member FDIC. Thank you very much. Okay. Where am I going to go? So we talked about Joe Burrow. Talked about Sean Payton and Nathaniel Hackett. I didn't like the fact that he apologized. But it was probably the right thing to do to say, listen, this was what I would have said. I apologize for this, but that was not the time and place. Yes, these are my feelings. I have very strong feelings about this, but it's not my job to put this out in the open. That should have been an internal thing that we talked about. And I got carried away, but I am here for my Denver Broncos to say that last year was an anomaly and it's not going to be the same because we are going to do things different. And I would have stopped there. And then there are times where I can't stop and I would have said the same dumb things and I would have been in trouble and probably would be out here apologizing as he did. So, you know, that is just the way things are. I would love to say that all the people in my profession, be it sports talk radio, print, you know, any of that, talking sports, we love to get the gotcha moment, right? I don't want to get a gotcha moment. What I want when I interview people or when I'm talking about somebody or I'm reading up on somebody, I want their inner sanctum, their inner truth, what they really believe in. You know, and it's not, you know, I get teased about this and Scott, listen, I do love my opinion. I have opinions. That's why I get to do what I do. And I have them and I'll sit here and I will fight to the very end because I think I'm right. And it's not just about sports. My wife and I do it on a daily basis. My sons and I do it on a daily basis. My coworkers and I do it on a daily basis. My friends and I do it on a daily basis. That's just the type of relationships that we have. And when you have strong opinions, you want to bring them out and you want to, you know, you want to give them a test run out there. Well, here's my test run of the day. And I had this test run yesterday. I'm going to have this test run the next day. For all the people, and I've been reading through social media today. I kept a bunch of these out just so I could talk about them a little bit. And it's about the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, who's now the Pac-9. Listen. For everybody that has a short memory, the Big 12 didn't start this. The Big 12 was the one that had this started on them. The SEC, and I'm telling you right now, the SEC, for some of the best reasons you could ever have, they were gettable because of their standing and their monetary standing in the Big 12. And the SEC went out and got them. They went out and got Texas, and they went out and got Oklahoma. And at the time that they got Texas and they got Oklahoma, Texas and Oklahoma, I would give you that they were probably the cream of the crop, because I think that was 3 years ago. I think at that moment, coming off that season, they probably were the cream of the crop. And the Big 12 couldn't complain about Texas. It brought Texas in. Now the Big 12 has had teams take out. Hold that thought. It'll come up here in a second. Do I blame the SEC for going and getting those two teams? No. Texas for sure, because Texas had the Longhorn Network. And no matter what you think about the Longhorn Network, the reason that the Big Ten and the SEC are in the position that they were in is Texas came out with the Longhorn Network, and the teams didn't necessarily think that they could do it by themselves, and they got together and the whole conference did. So you had the Big Ten Network and you had the SEC Network. I'm okay with that. I'm okay that they left. But for the other conferences, now that you did not hear the SEC today, when we pulled in Colorado, you didn't hear them say, well, what are they doing that for? I can't believe they're doing that. Blah, blah, blah. They didn't. SEC, silent. Big Ten had a couple of people out there today saying, you know, man, that's probably, who is that the right thing? That you just robbed two teams from the Pac-12. So when you put those two things together, that the Big 12 had two teams taken, the Pac-12 had two teams taken, you know what? That is what it is. And I think we all agree that that is where we are at in this in this journey that we're on. Do I believe, like the Perlovs of the world or that it's going to be two conferences and there's not going to be anybody else? No, I don't. Because no matter what you want to say, no matter what you want to think, the Big Ten and the SEC on their bottom halves are not good enough to that be the only ones. And there's going to be three. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be three. And the teams in the ACC and the teams in the Big 12 and the teams in the Pac-12 are going to get divvied on however they get divvied on who can divvy first. And you're going to have three, I've said this all along, you're going to have three Power 5 conferences. They're going to split away from the NCAA. They're going to form their own, I have no idea, union, corporation, whatever you're going to do. They're going to form that. They're going to write their own rules. And that's how they're going to go forward. And that's how they're going to do all their TV contracts. And it's going to be in a group of three. But the day that the Big 12 had two teams taken from them, if any of you think the Pac-12 wasn't out hunting teams in the Big 12, they had due diligence to do it. They just thought of themselves as too high an establishment to bring in some institution that wasn't of their same ilk. That's the reason the Pac-12 is in the problems that they are right now. They thought they were too good. Not sports-wise. They thought they were too good as an institution, an educational institution. We cannot stoop down and do that. And lo and behold, the Big Ten went, okay, let's see how they like this. Boom, boom. You take their two best teams. You take their two best teams with the two best contracts. Here's the other thing that you cannot say. You cannot say this about the Big Ten. You cannot say this about the SEC. You cannot say this about the ACC. And you cannot say this about the Big 12. If you watch a football game on television or you go to a football game in those conferences, there are hardly any open seats at any location in these conferences. I've seen games in USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington. And all those teams, Stanford, their stands are empty. This isn't a game about who has the best institutions of education. Vastly important, totally different subject. This is about who has the most fans, who has the most money, and who has the most to sell to the networks, which is going to change. Because all these contracts that are out there right now, with the Big 12s being one of them, and the Big 10 and the SEC and whatever the ACC on CW or whatever they're getting on and whatever the Pac-12 is going to do, these TV contracts are going to change, folks, because the TV stations that are doing it don't have that much money anymore. They were getting crazy money during COVID. They had money coming from everywhere. It's going away. That's why ESPN is doing what they're doing. That's why CBS is doing what they're doing. ABC is a part of ESPN. It's a part of Disney. It's a free-for-all. Fox, same thing. And if it's not about sports, it's about politics. It's about woke or wokeness or whatever the heck it's called. It's crazy. And people are voting and talking with their with their wallets. Almost said the wrong word. And paychecks. Not with what they watch on TV. Because here's the crazy thing about a TV contract and who's watching and where they're watching and how they're watching. It varies so much from I'm 57. Scott's younger than I am by 5-6 years. He views things differently than I do. Our kids are 30 years younger. They totally do things different. And you can go down to my niece, Mary, who I think is going into sixth grade, and how she gets social media or all the things that she likes. And her likes are crazy big, from movies to books to sports to God only knows what. She's so far ahead of the curve of any of us and any of our kids. Nobody has any idea where we're going to be in 2 years. So the fact that the Pac-12 yesterday just said, okay, Colorado's leaving. Huh. It's the Pac-9. Who are you bringing in? Listen, I'm telling you right now that if Arizona, Oregon, Washington, and Utah, I'll use those four. If the Pac-12 thinks that they have them locked up, and I'll give a high number, 75% locked up, they are crazy. If you tell me they have them 25% locked up, I'd probably buy. And then when you hear that Colorado comes into this with a full $31.5 million, not prorated, not in, $31.5 million, what everybody else does next year, if you're Arizona, you're Arizona State, or you're Oregon, or you're Washington, and I know it's an easier move to get into the Big Ten, so I use Oregon and Washington loosely, but I also use them because I'm hearing it. I'm more of a, and here's the key to all of this. I'm more of a UConn, Memphis, somebody like that. And here's my thought. Paul Feinbaum. All Paul Feinbaum cares about is football. Big Ten, man, they love their football. Pac-12, they love their football. The Big 12, we love our football and we love our basketball. The fact that you're losing Colorado, not a bad basketball team, but if we could pull Gonzaga or we could pull UConn or we could pull Memphis and get those sports and have them off the board, get to 14. I think they're only going to get to 14. They're at 13 right now. I think they're going to get to 14. I think they're picking somebody. I just don't know who it is. And I think they add a couple more. People aren't realizing Brett Yormark, he's playing chess and these guys are playing checkers. Now, the Big Ten and the SEC aren't playing checkers because they're playing a different game because the money that they got coming in and the money they have is crazy money. So the Big 12 knows it can't stay with that. None of the other conferences either. So we're playing checkers with these other conferences, or we're playing chess and they're playing checkers because we're trying to figure our way out, and we're trying to figure it out on a basketball side of this as well and going different places and bringing in different things. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back. A little potpourri. B-Styles coming up at 5:21. A lot to talk about with him. Happy Friday, everybody. Last segment of this first hour. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Alrighty. Minnesota Twins baseball, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6:30 pregame today, 5:30 pregame tomorrow, 12:30 pregame on Sunday. They're playing the Royals. This segment is going to be brought to you by Four Homeless Veterans Golf Outing. It's Monday, July 31st. This coming Monday, the Legacy Golf Club, Norwalk, Iowa, Central Iowa Shelter Services is hosting our fifth annual Four Homeless Veterans Golf Outing, benefiting the homeless U.S. veterans that are staying with us in our emergency shelter. Join us Monday and walk the Legacy or ride in your cart. $600 per team, so $150 per person. Gets you 18 holes, a banquet meal, two drink tickets, player, raffle prizes. You could be a hole sponsor as well for $250. Your support goes a long ways in helping homeless veterans and give them an opportunity to grow and rebuild. The funds raised help to maintain all 150 beds at the emergency shelter, provide street outreach, and cook 600 nutritious meals each day for many of our veterans. Once again, it's at Legacy Golf Club, Monday, July 31st, this coming Monday. It's put on by Central Iowa Shelter Services. Melissa is a rock star. Love when we have her on the show. Love being able to give them some advertising time on this show. So Four Homeless Veterans Golf Outing, Legacy Golf Club. It's worth it just to go and play a round of golf at Legacy. So enjoy, everybody. It's a great cause. Okay, so a little potpourri. Dolphins star Jalen Ramsey today did in fact undergo a full meniscus repair this morning. Sources say knocking him out until December. That pretty much takes him through three quarters of the season. If they can get him back, listen, if they can stay, I mean, that's the first injury. They have to stay away from injuries, especially with Tua. If they can do that, keeping Tua upright and letting him throw to the weapons he has, man, is that going to be fun to watch. Not taking care of him and not protecting him is not going to be a fun season. We have some great stuff coming up in Ames this year, and just it's radio, right? Just full disclosure. I talk about the Hawkeyes all the time. I talk about the Panthers. I talk about the Bulldogs. I talk about the Cyclones. My kids went to Iowa State. I'm an Iowa State fan, so I'm going to talk about it. They have a Jack Trice legacy game. I saw the uniforms. They're going to be outstanding. I can't wait for that. When we have more, when we get more things coming up, we'll spend some extra time, because we've had authors on that have written books about Jack Trice. It's a very sad story that has led to a lot of great things, and I think that continues. This came from Steph Copley today, and one of the most intelligent, caring person that you'll ever meet, and her pound invest in women, as in invest in women all the time, invest in women's sports way more than what we do. Tonight at 11 p.m., the ESPN is all-female sports center and are going to spotlight women's sports as part of an innovative sponsorship between Ally and at Disney Ad Sales. More on ESPN's ongoing commitment to elevating women's sports. And that's one of the things that I believe in deeply. We get to use the adage of, well, their sports don't do as well as men's sports do. So, and you can't do that because they've never had the same opportunity. They've never been given the same TV contracts. They've never been given the same amount of money. They've never been given anything even remotely close. If you started taking away things from the other side, my side, the men's side, and pushed it onto the women's side, the fact that people say is, well, it wouldn't do any good. Well, we're never going to know because it never happens. I like the fact they do that. Scott and I have tried to do as much as possible, to push as much as we can. And I don't care if that's Iowa State, UNI, Drake, Iowa basketball. It's easy. I get it. It's easy talking about Caitlin Clark. I saw some of the specials that, you know, they're going to go on their trip overseas, play some games, get some games in. Team's been practicing. All of them have been. And to see, Hannah Stolke is going to be a superstar this year. She has to stay healthy. I want her to stay healthy, because what they can do, listen, losing Monica is a huge deal, a superstar. What Hannah can do running the floor, D'ing up and doing all that now in her second year, I'm a big fan, and I can't wait to see that. Speaking of some rookies or some freshmen, Milan, man, see, I'm just going to say Milan from Iowa State. I'm going to have somebody call me in. Masilovic everybody knew coming into Iowa State. And here's the funny thing. Everybody knew everything about Omaha coming in, and all they worried about, okay, offensively, where is he at with his offense? Because we know where he's at in his fast break. We know where he's at in running the floor. We know where he is as a defensive stopper. Milan is the exact opposite. We know what he can do. And he shoots, when I see him shoot, and I see Matt Thomas, but a lot taller. And that's high praise, because Matt Thomas was a great clutch shooter. It's going to be a ton of fun. Another young guy, Anthony Richardson. He's an Indianapolis Colt. He was a first-round pick for them, a high pick for them. Had played sparingly as, I don't know if he left as a junior or he left as a senior. He played sparingly 1 year and had a really good year last year, but it's still hit and miss with Florida, how they ran plays and did all that. He is one of the most athletic quarterbacks to come in this league, I would say, since Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson, going down that line. But this one gets me in trouble all the time because I see Kyler Murray, and all people see on Kyler Murray is, well, he likes playing video games, so he's not a good quarterback. That's lazy. When they've had talent around him and had good coaching, he's been a good player. I don't think he's going to be at Arizona for very much longer, and I think he's going to go to a team that needs a quarterback, that has a roster, and there's a ton of them. And the ability of him throwing a deep ball and running and maneuvering around, you know, but you have to fix him because there's been some people that have broke him. Anthony Richardson has it all. He can run. He's got a cannon. He's one of those guys. And everything that they said about Anthony Richardson this year in the draft was the same things they said about Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he can throw a deep ball. He doesn't throw a deep ball accurate. Oh, he can run out of things, but maybe not the best at reading or doing any of that coaching. And he has a coach in Indianapolis that can do that, just like Patrick Mahomes had a coach in Kansas City. Do I think Anthony Richardson is going to be Patrick Mahomes? I don't know, because it doesn't happen very often. But nobody thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes, so I think Anthony Richardson has a chance, because I think he has somebody there that understands what he has and how he can do it. And this is a good one, because it is, he took, and through all of this, he is taking all of the Colts' first team snaps. Listen, they have nothing to lose. I mean, they brought a guy in from ESPN last year to coach at the end of the year. And I wasn't against it, because I thought he could at least keep the locker room. And I think he did. None of the pundits liked it, and because they thought it was stupid and silly, even though he'd been a football player, a great football player. And you listen to him on TV, it was Jeff Saturday. He was brilliant on TV as well. But oh my God, he can't do that because he can't be a coach, because he hasn't coached his whole life. That's such a narrow-minded narrative that it's not even worth talking about. But I think Anthony Richardson has a shot. I really do. Because he works hard, and he has the things that there are 12 teams in the NFL right now that do not have. He can kill you with his legs. He can kill you with his arm. And if he has somebody in his head helping him, he's smart enough to get through this and understand what he has to do. And though that should make, man, Indianapolis has been down for a couple of years, and I got a feeling they're not going to be down for much longer. And that's not good if you're in their conference. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You got me for the next segment. I got B Styles coming in here after that. I got Potpourri to end the show and lead us into the weekend. Everybody, happy Friday. Second hour already upon us. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Our next segment is being brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and find out all you need about this outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Lifesavers when it is on the controls side of my real job. when it is as warm and humid as it is, or when it gets cold and snowy as it does, to be able to have controls on your computer, not having to go on site for everything. Love my Woodman controls usage. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of things. I felt bad that Sean Payton apologized to you. I wish he wouldn't have. My Pac-12, Big 12 thing, Big 12 has had two teams taken away from it and had a bunch of teams leave before then, if it be Nebraska, Texas A&M, on and on. And we've rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt, and we're still rebuilding, and Brett Yormark can do whatever he wants to do to try to keep the Big 12 relevant. And I want relevancy in multiple sports. I'm not just a football dude. At some point in time, and I actually think it's going to get better. I actually think it's going to get better because of a whole lot of things. I think it's going to get better because of NIL. I think it's going to get better because we're going to change some of the items that are out there. NIL, transfer portal, coaching. It's going to change for everybody. Coaches aren't going to be able to do what they used to do. I get it. And I agreed with Scott, and I agreed with Brandon yesterday when we were talking, and Randy Wehofer when we were talking as well, and talking about Minnesota. What happened at Northwestern is a travesty, and it should have never happened, but that still does not mean that everybody knew that it was going on. What happened in Minnesota that the kids, and here's his statement. Those kids are no longer with the program, so it's just rotten apples. Okay. Those kids are no longer at the program. Maybe they're no longer at the program because they didn't like what was going on at the program, so they decided to leave. And they weren't going to leave quietly because you probably didn't make it easy on them. Does that mean that P.J. Fleck is a bad guy? No. Does that mean P.J. Fleck is a great coach? To be determined. Jim Harbaugh, during COVID, bought a kid a hamburger and didn't want to deal with the NCAA saying it was just a damn hamburger. And so maybe he misled. I haven't seen all the stuff. I don't think Jim Harbaugh's that. I mean, the fact that it was, they're even thinking about four games, but they're four home games. And once again, for your Michigans and your Ohio States and for your Alabamas, and, you know, Alabama plays a non-Division I team towards the end of the season. None of these guys are going to be able to do that anymore. As soon as this TV money and all this TV stuff and all that works out, you're not going to be able to bring in sub Power 5 conference teams to play in your offseason because people aren't going to want to pay money to see it. I think that's the biggest change that's coming. And I love the fact that NCAA basketball, men's and women's, has changed that. You go out and you play the toughest schedule you can play because it's going to help you at the end of the year because of seeding or all of that. And it's also going to help you if you go out and travel to tough places that are not in your conference, because it makes you a better basketball team at the end of the year. It makes you a better football team if you go out and play better teams in before your conference kicks in. And the conference games are going to, I mean, the outside games that are outside of conference play are going to drop anyway because conferences are getting bigger. So you don't get to play Central Ohio. I feel bad. Iowa or Iowa State's not going to play UNI. I feel bad about that because I don't think they want to play UNI anyway because they don't like facing Mark Farley. And yes, we are a UNI affiliate. That's going to change too. So you're not going to be able. You're going to be playing. There's not going to be any more divisions because there's too many teams, and you're going to have to play people away, home and away, and you're going to have to play tough games. And you're not going to be able to play all the weak teams that are in your division. It's going away. It's not going to happen. So you better rev up and play some tough teams early so you can play those tough games late. And I think that's going to change the way people watch football. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's changing. It changed the way that we're doing NCAA basketball, both men's and women's. Because now you're going to tournaments and you're playing tough games. You get travel, you get extra practice, you get all of that, but you get tough games. So when you go into your third round of your conference championship, you're going to be ready to play. When you get into the NCAA tournament, where that's going to change as well with how the Power Five and all this is working, it's going to change in football as well. When you go to 12 teams, and all the people are saying, well, even if you go to 12 teams, Alabama's still not going to, you know, they're not going to play anybody good. Here's the secondary part of all this I'm talking about. And this goes to your Alabamas, your Texases, your USCs, your Auburns, your Clemsons, all those schools. They're not going to be able to have four five-star quarterbacks and four five-star running backs and four five-star wide receivers or defensive linemen or offensive linemen or safeties or corners. They're not going to be able to stack their rosters because you're not going to be able to make as much money on NIL if you're not playing until you're a sophomore or junior. You're going to go somewhere where you play. They're all going to be on TV. They're all going to get the same out there. You're all going to get the same clicks. You're not. It's changing the way football is, and it has to the transfer portal. And I know they want to change the transfer portal, and I'm not a huge fan of just jumping in to jump in. If your quarterback or your quarterback, if your head coach, your offensive coordinator or your defensive coordinators leave your program, you should have open season on moving. They're the people that recruited you. They're the people that are there. After 1 year, if they recruit multiple people into your position that had a higher ranking than you had coming out, you should be able to transfer. Now, if you're, you know, if you had two four-star quarterbacks and one got to play and one didn't, the other one's hurt or not hurt, feelings hurt, he can't do that just because his feelings are hurt. If he got beat out, he got beat out. But then if they bring another person in that following year and he doesn't win that and he's dropped down again, you should have the ability to transfer out. Anytime a coach leaves, an athletic director leaves, any of that should be open season. That way, it's going to be more likely that you keep your coaches longer. Maybe they get to be in your program longer and make them better. It's going to make athletic directors be accountable. It's going to make them, if they stay, if they leave to go to another job, here's the other one. If a coach leaves to go to another job in the NCAA, if an athletic director leaves to go to another job in the NCAA, at no point in time for at least 2 years, so almost through a whole cycle, they cannot have someone from that university that they were coaching at come to their new university. That's an easy rule. I mean, you could just say they can't come, but then that's taken away from some of the players' rights. And I don't want to take away the players' rights when I'm giving the coaches rights to willy-nilly move whenever they can. So, We talked about that today. The baseball, Aaron Judge is coming back tonight. I still don't know how I feel about the Angels and Shohei Ohtani. I asked around today to a couple of baseball people. We heard from Randy when he was on the other day. It was probably a good idea to keep him. You should be trying to make a playoff run. And getting five prospects back for Shohei Ohtani and trading away Shohei Ohtani and all the people that were coming to the games, because that's been an issue for the Angels in the past, is getting butts in seats, even with Mike Trout and even with Shohei Ohtani. So I don't know if trading him for five prospects is enough, but I also know that losing him at the end of the season, I don't know what it is about LA, but it just doesn't seem like a fit. Now, I don't know where that fit is. I've heard that fit could be Seattle. I've heard that fit could be L.A. I've heard that fit could be, and it's funny that it could be the Dodgers and not the Angels, but I think that the Dodgers are run better than the Angels as well. I could see New York teams because of the likability scale. I see a few of those, right? So it wouldn't shock you if that happened. It really wouldn't shock me if it was Seattle. The Ichiro effect is real, especially because he's still involved. So it's going to be interesting. The Angels didn't know what they had when they got him. They knew what they thought they had, and he's doubled that times three. So losing it, now their problem is they're getting to a point where they may have to trade both of them, because I don't think they can keep affording to have Mike Trout there, and it's just bad luck. You get bad luck. But I don't know if you can pay Mike Trout $40 million a year and get 45 games out of him. But you had a lottery ticket and you hit. It doesn't happen very often. There is nobody like Shohei Ohtani. Nobody. There's never been anybody. If you didn't see his games last night, and I wonder, because when Brandon and Scott here, they said, hey, they took Shohei out. Well, they took him out in like the fifth inning. He'd already had two at-bats in the second game. The first game, he threw a shutout, struck out 11. In the second game, he'd already had two home runs. He needs rest. I mean, that's tough to pitch and to hit and then have a doubleheader. That would be very difficult to do. So I think that's more of the reason they did, not any other reason. But what he did yesterday, guess what? No one's ever did. And I always come back. It would be on the bottom of my business card if I was Shohei Ohtani. I also lead the major leagues in triples. That means I'm fast, too. And he has a cannon. He just doesn't use it very much because he's a pitcher. But he has a cannon. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's fun, folks. I don't know how many people are watching the U.S. Women's National Team. I mean, I have two things. I got to hit the other one first. Kitty Ledecky won another 1,500-meter race. This time, she's touching, and the people are flipping where she touches to do their last lap in the 1,500. Now, here's some things about Katie Ledecky. I don't know if there's ever going to be anybody like her ever again. And there's some people right now. She got beat in the 400 the other day. It's like her second or third defeat in that, if not more. And that's a younger person's race. Michael Phelps, what he did. I don't know if there's ever going to be anybody to do what Michael Phelps did. We talked about that yesterday, about unbreakable records. I don't think anybody's ever going to break Katie Ledecky's 1,500-meter record. I don't think anyone's ever going to get to Michael Phelps's medals in swimming. They just don't make people like those two. With the intestinal fortitude that both of them have and their body's ability to do stuff that other people's bodies don't let them do. And I don't know if that's endurance. I don't know if that's sustainability. I don't know if that's recovery, any of those things. The same is being said about the U.S. Women's National Team. The U.S. Women's National Team have been icons for the last 10, 12 years. Maybe not that long, but I thought it was that long. From Megan to Mia to just Julie, all of them. There's some young people that are getting ready to come through this that are really, really good as well. And it's fun to see this year a mix of old and new. Are they going to win the World Cup? I don't know. It's difficult. There's a lot of good teams. They were lucky the other night to get a tie. It just happens. There's a lot of good athletes out there. But it's fun. I like that part of it. I like the part of it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the men's team. it's fun to do that stuff because it takes us out of our daily routine. And I appreciate that. And being able to do that. And I think through all of them, and I think this is where the bad rap part comes in. They've been amazing role models. And that's what matters. It really does. It's mattered all through time. I had role models growing up. I knew I couldn't do what they did. I knew I was never going to do what they did, but it didn't matter. I would fight anybody if they said something about whoever I liked at the point in time. It's the same now. I just get to do it with my voice and not get the crap beat out of me all the time. You have to have those heroes, folks. I love the fact that we have a hero. One of my heroes, he's coming up next. It's Brendan Styles. I'm going to let him loose. He's always ready to go. It's coming up next, as always. You're listening to Sting on Sports, 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans Day. Got to get my head there. Is my headphones coming back in? You're listening to Sting on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Minnesota Twins baseball, we have them tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, providing quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care. Be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology. Go to heritagebld.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. It was kind of hit and miss here, but I think I have B Styles on. B, you with me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, he is. He is at the B Styles. And happy Friday, my friend. And a lot of stuff going on. What's on top of your mind today?
Well, I got to say two things here. I guess a comment and then a question. First, I just got to say, I know that Elon Musk decided to change the name randomly to X, but I think it's going to be a lot like the Sears Tower where we're still going to just be referring to it as Twitter.
Yes, I agree with
for
that.
For the foreseeable future.
I can't remember X, by the way. I would yeah, never remember.
No. Oh, God, no. Well, here's my question, because I know you're an Iowa State guy. What is your take over the last 48 hours with regards to a former Big 12 member deciding to crawl back?
Yeah, I think that was a piece they needed to get, and I thought it was an easy piece to get. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I wish he would have got two at the same time, because
right,
the fact that they're getting a full prorated share coming in 2024, I mean, that's mm-hmm. I think that seals the deal for the Big 12 to get as big, as long as they're bringing in Power 5 schools. I think that gives them right, the chance to get another one or three more to get them where they need to be, and then I think they're good to go unless something else pops up. But I thought it was a good first step. I think he's looking at things. Brett Yormark is looking at things differently, and I think it's a better fit from Dion, because I think he knew that was a sinking ship, and I thought Colorado knew it was a sinking ship.
And I think not only that, but I think you brought up the fact that it's a full revenue share. I think that's got to be something that, especially when you consider they made that swing to get Deion Sanders, that probably increases the likelihood of him, like, sticking around longer than people might think he would, just in terms of him potentially looking at Colorado as a stepping stone. The other thing I just was thinking about with that, too, is because I heard UConn is a possibility.
Yep.
How about that? If they bring them in and then you have that reunion of them against Central Florida, that quote-unquote civil conflict that Pop Diaco tried to start.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The one that I don't get, and maybe it's just they just don't fit, but Memphis gives you basketball. It gives you a pretty good football team, and it gives Central Florida a spot that they don't have to travel as far to have that home and home, but it's going to be interesting. But I think bringing in basketball, I think that's one of the things that Brett Yormark is doing that some of the others aren't. He understands that there's a lot of money in football, but there's a lot of money in the NCAA tournament.
There is. And, you know, it's something where I think, and I think that's why UConn's being considered, but I think to answer your question with regards to Memphis, I feel like if Missouri was still in the Big 12, that there would have been an easier sell.
I get it.
But you mentioned the basketball part of it. I think that's why you keep hearing about Arizona as a possibility.
Yep.
Because you know exactly what you're getting with them. And if you have them and Kansas in the same conference together,
That's pretty good.
And Iowa. And even Iowa State, too, just like with Hilton.
Right.
I mean, to have those opportunities to potentially have like a home-and-home with Arizona and, you know, to be going down to the McHale Center and then having the Wildcats come up to Hilton. Or, you know, I know at one point in time they were talking possibly just getting basketball-only members and maybe looking at a school like Gonzaga, although now – that you got Colorado on board. I don't know. I feel like that next school, that 14th school, is going to have to be somebody that also provides football as well.
I think $31.5 million is enough to get Arizona to jump. I really do. Because I don't think the Pac-12 is getting $31.5 million.
I think it's enough to get any of the Pac-12 schools to jump at this point.
Exactly. And you know, and one of the things that I said earlier in the show today, and I'm like, when you're talking the Big Ten and you're talking the SEC, and I'm still saying it, and you're talking the Big 12, you're talking about TV, yes, but you're also talking stadiums that are full of people. I saw enough Pac-12 games because they're on late at night. You're at USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon. Their stadiums are empty. It's crazy.
And you know what? I think that's the selling point. I think that's the perspective that USC and UCLA are looking at, is with them coming into the Big Ten – you get schools like in Iowa, like in Wisconsin, like in Michigan, Ohio State, exactly, Nebraska. They're all going to travel. You can throw Penn State in there as well. Like, and it might be something where, the crowds might be close to 50-50 for some of those games, but
at least it's 50-50.
They're going to get the ticket money.
Exactly. What's your thoughts on the NCAA even questioning Jim Harbaugh for – I don't think it's as simple as buying a cheeseburger for something, but I also think he didn't want to talk to him, so they were mad at him. I just think that's ridiculous, B.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, at this point, does that really warrant a four-game suspension?
Yeah.
You know? And if you're going to – here's the other thing, too, is if you're going to hand down a suspension like that, you're really going to hand down a suspension that where it affects three non-conference games that are all at the Big House against Cupcakes, and then – a game against Rutgers, really?
It doesn't. Like, it doesn't have a lot of stick.
It doesn't hit the mark.
No,
it doesn't hit the mark, and it's not something where it's like, oh my God, he's missing a game against like Nebraska or against Michigan State, or who they play both of them on the road, or even Minnesota. And then you know, of course, the big game at the end of the season for them against Ohio State, which they get at home. So, I gotta tell you, like with Michigan. I don't, as far as the punishment's concerned, I think it's ridiculous, but as far as they're concerned, I get why people look at them as a favorite to win the Big Ten again, because they've obviously won the conference the last 2 years. They made the playoff the last 2 years, and you have JJ McCarthy, who's probably a first round pick as a quarterback, but that schedule, I feel like between those three road games, I mentioned, they also got to go to Penn State. I feel like there's a possibility they could slip up in one of them.
Yeah. I
agree.
And
it could be something that opens the door for an Ohio State, even if they were to lose to them, or for maybe even a Penn State, because now they got a more prototype of a quarterback, Drew Aller, that, you know, if the Nittany Lions could potentially make a run this year at the conference.
We're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. All of our favorite teams in football, NFL, college, everything can turn on a quarterback getting hurt. Joe Burrow.
Yep.
6-7 weeks, that puts him, you know, first or second game into the season with a calf injury. That's not easy.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, it sounds like it's just a strain. So, obviously, if you're the Bengals, the most important thing is if you can get him back for that week one game in Cleveland, then that's what you need, especially because for whatever reason they've struggled against the Browns. But I think it's something where – that could have been a lot worse, especially when you watched it yesterday, just because it was a non-contact injury. But fortunately for them, it is just a strain. And you hope that whenever he does return, it's not something that ends up lingering throughout the entire season.
Does he get his contract extension even though he's hurt?
Oh, I think so.
I do too. I think he gets paid. He gets paid the highest.
I think for two reasons. One, Justin Herbert just got paid. And yeah. two, I think the NFL has figured out, or these teams have figured out, that even if you give a significant sum of money like what Herbert just got from the Chargers, the cap's going to keep going up. So over time, it's going to end up being a friendlier contract. I think that's something that Kansas City figured out rather early, or at least they had the foresight to realize when they signed Mahomes to an extension, because now his deal, that looks a lot more reasonable than you would have thought it might have when he first signed it.
That's a great, and I want to ask you this question. I asked Scott the other day this same question. With Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you know they're going to renegotiate. Now, they don't have to do it quickly, but in the next couple of years, is Patrick Mahomes going to be, and I don't know if it's, so this one part, I don't know if it's legal, but is he going to be the first person in the NFL to get some type of stake in the actual football team as part of his contract? Is he that big?
I don't think he gets to that point, just because, I mean, he's already got a stake in the Royals.
Right.
So, like, I don't, and his wife, is, I think, has a stake in the soccer team there. So, like, I don't know what more they need in that regard. I think what's going to ultimately happen is, I think as long as he's got the supporting cast that he has, i.e. Travis Kelce, he's going to keep, you know, he's going to remain on more of a deal that's friendlier to the team. But I think once it gets to a point where maybe Travis Kelce retires, if they don't have somebody in, coming up right away, or they don't have an established receiver by that point, that might be when he gets later in his career, when he decides, you know what, I'm just going to try to get as much money as I can. I've already had all the success. And, you know, at this point, I just want to make sure that my family will be completely well off long after I'm gone.
We are about a month away for NFL. If I put you on the spot today, you would be happy if Justin Fields threw for this many yards, this many touchdowns, this many interceptions. Where are you standing?
If he could get at somewhere between 2,700 and 3,000 yards, and then, because I'm also factoring that he's probably going to run for close to 1,000, too.
1,000, I agree. Touchdowns and interceptions. This is the key one.
Yeah, if he could get at least 25 touchdowns and then maybe and keep it under 10 for interceptions, I know that the under 10, that might seem a little conservative, but it's just, it's one of those things where over the course of, now that you have that extra game, you have to factor that in. And it's one of those things where, if we're being honest, just with the way he plays, I think you have to prepare for the possibility that there's going to be at least one or two games that he's probably just not going to be able to go.
Right.
You know? And I think, getting P.J. Walker as a backup quarterback, he showed some flashes with Carolina last year. I think, and he's more similar to Fields, so it's not going to be going like from him to Trevor Siemian like they had to do a couple times last season. But obviously, if he could stay healthy for the majority of the season, if he can get close to 3,000 yards and at least throw for 2.5 times as many touchdowns as interceptions, I would be good with that.
I think I would too, and I think DJ Moore is the real deal, and I think they're going to connect, and I think they're gonna hit it off, and it gives him somebody that he trusts to throw to. I think it's going to be interesting to see what that's going to be like, because that's a topsy turvy. That could be a really good division, or it could be a really bad division.
There's an unknown, because you look at Detroit. Everything points to them being a team that probably wins the division, but they're also the Lions. And then you look at the Vikings, they had a great year last year, but it was also kind of a fluke. And that showed in the playoffs. And you have to think, you know, maybe they don't completely regress, but I think 9 or 10 wins is probably a realistic thing to say regarding them. I honestly think, and this is what's crazy, like when you look at the NFC and the AFC, when you look at the NFC, outside of like Philly and San Francisco and maybe Dallas, like you look at the NFC North and the NFC South, I think 10 wins is going to be more than enough to win both of those divisions.
No, absolutely.
Whereas when you look at the AFC, you look at the AFC North, the team that finishes last might be 10-7. and 10-7 might not even be enough to make the playoffs. I think for a wild card, you might have to be at least 11-6.
If I tell you, and once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles, he's at DB Styles on Twitter. If I tell you, I'll give you the Braves, and you need to pick who's coming from the American League, who you taking?
I think the Braves are for sure going to represent the National League.
They're deep. They're so deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I'm going to say the Rays, because even if they don't win the AL East, I think they're going to be there in the postseason. And they've proven it. Even with, like, the lack of payroll that they have such a system in place that, you know, they can definitely make that leap. They were just in the World Series 3 years ago against the Dodgers during the COVID year. And I think they have the pieces in place that they could for sure win the pennant in the American League.
It's a good story if Tampa Bay succeeds. I just think it's a good story. It'd be a good story if it was Baltimore as well. It's nice to see Baltimore up on top. It's nice to see Texas on top.
Absolutely.
To get some different teams so it's not the same teams all the time. And the Central, that's a crapshoot. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
It just somebody has to get
hot.
Are
we talking the American League or the National League?
No, the American League.
The American League. See, I don't think it's as much of a crapshoot in the AL Central. I think the Twins are going
to
eventually run away with that division.
Just like
because they actually have the pitching that is going to be there by the time you get to October, that they might actually be able to win a series. You know, I don't know if they could get to the ALCS necessarily, but like, let's say they're the team that's the third seed. So they're going to be playing in that extra wild card round and they get 2 out of 3 against, in all likelihood, the last wild card. That's a series they can win. I mean, between Pablo Lopez, Sonny Gray, and why am I forgetting Joe Ryan's name?
Yep.
There we go. Between those three, they're formidable.
5 seconds. Who wins more, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs?
Oh, the Cubs, easily.
B, love it. Thanks for coming in. Talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Steen on Sports. That was B Styles. I got one more segment. Potpourri 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Friday, last segment of this week. What a week it was. You're listening to Steen on Sports, 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Bringing sports your way every day. Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. The website 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins, Kansas City Royals, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Want to thank B Styles for coming in today. As always, also want to thank Northwest Bank, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, and 4 Homeless Veterans Golf Outing at Legacy on this coming Monday, July 31st, Central Iowa Shelter and Services. Melissa, the whole group, you're awesome. Great job. It's their 5th annual. Get out there. It's worth it just for Legacy Golf Course. I'm telling you, it is the best. Okay, so a little potpourri. And I have a few of these here. Just little things that I see during the day that, just for some reason makes me smile. Bugs Bunny. I'm a huge Bugs Bunny guy. 83 years ago today, made his first appearance in cartoon. 70 years ago, 83. The cartoon is as fresh today as it was 70 years ago. Man, official debut. That is too cool. Somebody sent me this today, and I think we all agree that Tom Brady, until somebody gets to a point where they have Super Bowls like he does, is the GOAT for quarterbacks. I don't think people remember, though, just how good Peyton Manning was. I think we overlook because of some of the losses maybe in some of the big games. He was a 14-time Pro Bowler, Offensive Rookie of the Year, 5-time Most Valuable Player, 7-time All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl Champion. 72,000 yards passing, 539 touchdowns, 251 interceptions, and a rating of 96.5. That's a big deal. 200 days away. Man, we're talking now. 200 days away the Super Bowl will be in Las Vegas. Man, Las Vegas is rocking. Super Bowl, Grand Prix, man, they got some stuff going on. Okay, two things upset me this week top rankings for top 100 ranking and NFL players. Justin Fields and Jared Goff were both 6 and 10 spaces ahead of Lamar Jackson. I know Lamar Jackson was hurt last year. Seriously, folks, you're comparing Jared Goff and Justin Fields to Lamar Jackson. I think that's ridiculous. Even if I wasn't a 49er, even if I wasn't a Ravens fan, I was just looking at what my next topic was. Come on. I mean, if you want to put Patrick Mahomes and you want to put Joe Burrow, you want to talk about Josh Allen or talk about Justin Herbert, I'm okay with that, but don't be putting people in front of my Lamar Jackson. See, I can do that. It's my show. I had my name on it today. So I can say that. I can be a fanboy once or twice. Okay, so the vibe coming out of, that's kind of funny because we have a vibe. 98.3 The Vibe. We had some of the summer ratings came out. KJJ, I think it was KJJY. Rocking it. That's awesome. The vibe coming out of San Francisco is Sam Darnold is QB2 and Trey Lance is QB3. That leaves Brock Purdy as your QB1. If Trey Lance is QB3 coming out of this workout and the other two are healthy, somebody's trading for Trey Lance. Because there's some teams that have just at quarterback. And you got to have somebody. But man, that's if Kyle Shanahan can't turn you and make you, I don't know if anybody can. That seems weird. I like this one today. It came from Seth Davis. And I kind of agree with this. And if you'd have talked to me 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have. But I am seeing that I was critically wrong in some of the advice I gave out at times when it comes to youth sports. And this is what he said. Someone out there want to make a lot of money, set up your youth sports club for multiple sports. Play soccer in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring, and keep all the same kids in that general. If they want to play all of them, let them play all of them. If you want to throw wrestling in there, do that. But give them the opportunity to stay in your club, but do multiple sports with multiple coaches and one overall coaching thing. Do whatever is best for these young men and young women to make themselves better as both a person and an athlete. That would be a good starting point. I get wanting to do travel sports. And I thought if you honed in on one, maybe it's better for you. I don't know if that's true. I think playing a lot of sports, but still being good at one and knowing the one you want to do, I don't know if playing that sport all the time from age 14 up to 19 when you go to college or 18 when you go to college, I don't know if that's the best thing. I've gone through it. I've been through it. I've coached through it. I actually think I was wrong. I think doing multiple sports is much better. And I don't know if it's ever going to change anything because I really don't think you can change it. I have got week 0 and week 1 college football point spreads. I mean, I just thought I'd throw some out. Notre Dame's a 20-point favorite against Navy. Not that big a game. Where's the first big game? NC State, UConn. That's a 16 for NC State, but they're playing at UConn, which I think is pretty cool. Here's a big one. Nebraska, Minnesota. Man, this changes your season early. It's at Minnesota, and Minnesota is a 6.5-point favorite. Florida at Utah. Another game changer. Utah is an 8-point favorite because it's at home. Let's see. What else do we got here? Louisville, Georgia Tech. Louisville's an 8-point favorite. And let's see. Ohio State, Indiana. I mean, that's a Big Ten opener. Ohio State is at Indiana, 28-point favorite. North Carolina, South Carolina. It's at South Carolina. North Carolina currently a 3-point favorite. I bet you that swings. I really do. Iowa is a 24-point favorite over Utah State. I know that I saw. Maybe I didn't. I thought I saw Iowa State's first one in here, but I don't think I see it. What's some other? They're not really. There, here's one. This is strange to me. Illinois at home is a 10-point favorite over Toledo. Really? TCU is a 20-point favorite over Colorado. It's in TCU. Texas Tech is a 14-point favorite at Wyoming. I thought that was a little, strange as well. That's not a bad lineup. UCLA is only a 16-point favorite over Coastal Carolina at home. Interesting. All the rest of the spreads are pretty big. Boston College is only a 10-point favorite over Northern Illinois at home. Purdue is only a 6-point favorite over Fresno State at home. Interesting. Some interesting stuff in there. We talked a little bit about that. We talked a lot today about the Big 12 and what they're doing and what the Pac-12 is doing. If the Pac-12 thought that they were fine, they didn't have to announce this, they don't have a deal, it's probably not a deal they want yet, but they thought they could keep putting it off, I don't think you can put it off anymore. You either got to throw the deal out there and tell the teams, this is what we're going to get. We're going to try to get more. We're going to try to get better. We're going to try to get better timing, better viewership, or whatever it is. Because if it was great, you're already saying it because you're getting toasted. I'm struggling to see what they're seeing to think that it was okay to go ahead and let this ride. Megan and Perloff earlier today had the most surprising teams in NFL history. Maggie had the 21 Bengals. I mean, I think it's interesting because they beat Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl. I still say it's the 99 Rams. Kurt Warner. Nobody knew. Nobody knew that he was going to do what he did. It's why it's a movie. It's why it's, you know, people look and say, you have to dig deep. You have to dig deeper than you've ever dug before, because you got to be able to find that one guy every once in a while. Thanks, everybody, for being in this week. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Steen on Sports, we appreciate everybody listening. We're glad that you're listening, and we're glad that we get to do this show. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Have a safe weekend. Have a great weekend.